877-381-8345.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris, we have Tim Beckley, Mr. UFO. Earlier we had Claudia Cunningham telling us about her stories about strange paranormal events in and around the burial spot of Charles Fort. Now, I wanted to bring up something here. We, of course, didn't have much time to warn our listeners of your presence, your return presence, Tim. But we have somebody called Polterwurst, you know, who eats liverwurst for lunch or something, or for brunch on Sundays, you know, that's how it goes, who wrote a very, very long letter with a lot of comments. And I'm not going to read all this because it's going to take several minutes. And mostly it is this particular segment. Okay, I just read that Mr. Beckley seems to have had a possible poltergeist experience. As you can see from my nickname, I'm a bit intrigued by the possibility of poltergeists. So it's just a lot of questions. How old were you? What happened, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, okay.
It's a very long question, and rather than read it, why don't you tell the story?
Okay. Well, actually, the paranormal is part of our family background. Brad Steiger actually wrote this up in one of his books recently and told it on the radio. I don't know if I wanted it really to be aired, but it's okay. I've mentioned it now a couple of times. My grandfather on my father's side of the family actually had a sighting or an encounter with a headless horseman behind the barn where he lived on a farm in Kentucky. Now, I said that it was the Confederate. There had been a lot of Civil War taking place, battles taking place near there. I was told that it was probably the ghost of a Confederate soldier who had been beheaded by a cannonball or something to that extent. But I can't prove that. That's just the family story. Also, when I was 3 years old, my life might have been saved by some sort of spiritual being. My mother had asthma and emphysema real bad, and in those days, well, she met my father in Kentucky on a trip there. People would go to the bluegrass state because it was supposed to be good for breathing, and I don't think that applies anymore, but it was the place to go if you had respiratory problems or vacations and all. So my mother would go there, and she made some friends, and she was introduced to what became my father, of course, and one day, they used to drive. They had an old Oldsmobile. They always bought Oldsmobiles for some reason. And the drive took about maybe 3 or 4 days. And I guess this one took a little bit longer than the usual because they had encountered some fairly foul weather. But they had made up a little area in the back seat. My mother and my father rode in the front seat of the car. And they made up a little area for me in the back. And I slept there and played with my toys and little aliens and stuff like that, I guess, you know. One night as they were reaching close to the destination, they had come across a very thick cloud bank. And my father was anxious to get to the destination wherever they were staying, right? And probably his brother's house. And anyway, he was persistent in driving, but my mother, who was more of a controlling factor in the family, was more persistent that he immediately stopped. So he stopped and pulled over to what he thought was the side of the road. The next morning when the sun came up and the fog started to break, it turned out that the Oldsmobile had come to a halt within a foot or so of a cliff. You know, side of the road, deep ravine, and if they had gone another foot or two, I would not be here to be a guest, probably for the fifth time, I think, on the Paracast.
So, or the first time, as a matter of fact.
There you go. So there is some evidence that maybe there was some spiritual force behind that. I do think to some degree that I have been pushed to continue in this field because this is an insane thing to do, as you guys can relate to. certainly to think that you can make a living off of this, or even persist in a sane situation after doing this for 40 plus years is pretty obvious. But also the house that I lived in at the time, which was in New Jersey, had poltergeist phenomena. Lights went on and off. Doors would open and close. And I remember one time I was at the kitchen table. This would have been when I was about maybe 6 or 7 years older. I remember one time being at the kitchen table, and there was a big a chinaware, you know, plate, and it slid across the table, and it fell onto the floor, but it didn't break. I can't say that it floated. I don't even remember, Gene, to be honest with you. Right? I'm not going to make it up. But it didn't break, and that was pretty unusual. Also, one time we heard the sound, my mother and I heard the sound of a baby crying, and this was in the middle of winter. Okay, so we followed the sound of the crying, and it was coming from the area outside the back door. We opened the back door, and there in the snow were what appeared to be little booty prints, right, from the shoes of a young child. Okay, so we followed it, or at least my mother did, to the back gate, and it seemed to have disappeared. Well, now, other people have said over the years, well, it was just an animal or a cat or something. And I would normally say, well, that's a good possibility. Okay, but here's the kicker here. Several years after that, my godmother was babysitting me. Now, she was a very staunch Catholic, and my mother would never bring up the ghost of the subject of ghost or anything like that. So I don't think her mind was, you know, relating to that type of thing. Anyway, while she was babysitting me, she heard the sound of a baby crying. She went to where it appeared to be coming from. Now, there was a door in our apartment. If you open it, there was just a little area there, a couple of square feet. And then there was the entrance to my grandparents' apartment. They lived upstairs, so you'd open the outer door and you'd walk up. Anyway, standing in that little area between the two doorways was a woman with a baby in its arm. Well, my godmother kind of freaked, I guess, or didn't know, but there was, you know, like somebody in the house that shouldn't, you know, be there. Anyway, she closed the door, and then I guess when she got her nerve up, she opened it again, and the apparition or whatever it was gone. Well, my sister did some investigation years later and found out that there apparently was, during the flu epidemic, I think it was diphtheria, around about, oh, just after World War One, that would have been like 1917, 1918, millions of something like 48 million people died all over the planet. I know this because one of the magazines I edited over the years was called Front Page Disasters, and I wrote an article about it. Anyway, supposedly, from what my sister had learned during her research, a mother and their child, their daughter, had died there during the epidemic, and they had had a wake in the house, and the baby or the child was in its mother's arms in the open coffin. True story? I don't know. That's the family legend and lore.
I'll tell you what, we have a lot more questions, I noticed, from Poltergeist. I'd like to ask them, with regard to poltergeists, what about the so-called psychokinetic teenager theory, that there is energy being presented by a teenager in the house? You know, most always a teenage girl as opposed to a teenage boy,
I
did, right?
Let's see, my sister would have been 8 years older than I was. She is now deceased. So she was, let's see, six, eight, I don't know, she would have been 14 or 15 years old. And, you know, she had, even after she got married and moved into her own place and had a family, she retained an interest in the weird type of stuff and had some experiences of her own, and they used to follow her to some degree from place to place. She had objects disappear and reappear as well, but she was long over, you know, being a teenager at that point. So
I think the implication here from Poltergeist is that these are staged events, that the teenager is doing this maybe subconsciously to have a prank or something, but I wanted
staged.
To get into, Tim, there's about three or four other implications in that question, which are regarding speaking of staged events and hoaxes, and I want to ask you about that. We have Tim Beckley, Mr. UFO, and he'll soon tell us how to find out more about his stuff. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Peter Kranchnabel from Midas Resources. Today's December 16th, 2011. Gold opened this morning at $1,591.50. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,631.49, $815.75 for a half ounce, and $407.87 for a quarter ounce. $1,631.49, $815.75, and $407.87.
Gold isn't for you? Hi, I'm Ted Anderson, and I get it. You wouldn't buy gold if you believed the government is doing a great job. The Fed will stop handing out trillions like bailout candy, but that's not what's happening. If all looks rosy, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked while gold has risen 1,600%. Savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well. Free. Call 800-686-2237. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
As we age, we lose both strength and muscle mass. Undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows is nature's most powerful food to gain back lost muscle. Virtually all whey protein powders or drinks have been damaged during processing or are high in sugar. This damaged whey causes a significant loss in the ability of the body to build new muscle proteins. The high sugar content will stop all the benefits of your growth hormone from causing muscle repair. By giving your body easily absorbed, undamaged whey, free of added sugar, you may be able to gain back lost muscle and strength. One World Whey is truly undamaged whey protein powder free of added sugar. Both young and elderly are reporting increases in muscle strength and size without any additional exercise. Go to oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com to read or hear some impressive testimonies to this effect. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
We're back with Tim Beckley, Mr. UFO, on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. So another question from Poltergeist, one of our paranormal novices, at the Paracast Forum.
I'll have to have lunch with them someday and discuss this, yeah.
Okay. Speaking of staged events and hoaxes mixed up with what seem to be real events, I think the implication here is that maybe we see certain figures in the UFO field have a genuine encounter, unusual, paranormal encounter, and they get attention as a result. So they want more than a 15 minutes of fame. They want 30 minutes. So suddenly they, shall we say, fabricate further incidents.
Yeah, that's. I'll go along with that. No doubt about that. So again, that causes another great degree of confusion in the field. Well, now I started telling actually about the article that I wrote for Open Minds magazine about Howard Menger, and he would be the prime example of this. And I guess you knew Howard to some degree. I guess anybody who was part of Saucerology that lived on the East Coast. He was the George Adamski of the metropolitan area.
The Jersey Adamski from New Jersey.
There you go. And now I knew Howard, and you know he could tell a story and a half. But on the other hand, you know he said that he was meeting these people in his. He lived on a farm, grew up on a farm with his parents. They actually moved from Brooklyn, when he was like 10 years old. They moved to this farm for
a lot of us want to move from Brooklyn.
Yeah, there you go. I guess some ufologists were in those days. I don't know if it's a con. Well, Harold Eglin is over there now. He's got his abduction group. But anyway, so Howard started having these experiences. In fact, one of them was meeting this beautiful woman from Venus on a rock, like a quarter mile away from his house near a stream and so forth. And she was beautiful and angelic and told him about, how great the beings were from, around the cosmos and how we can have a better, state of life if we just, turned our way, evil ways into goodness and sweetness and light. And, in fact, his brother also had a few encounters, but not as close as Howard supposedly did. Now, the thing is, people say, well, that's a bunch of nonsense. But I relate in my article several different things. I remember I had gotten a call one afternoon. I was living in New Jersey at the time, and I was kind of the hub of it was me and a fellow by the name of Ed Babcock, and he was running the New Jersey Association on Aerial Phenomena, and I had the Interplanetary News Service, right?
And, that's because E.T. was sending you the press releases.
Yeah. I guess I was, I swallowed it. Well, I was also always fascinated by the Shaver mystery in the inner earth. I had done a book that Gray Barker published. When I was in the third grade, I had to do a book review, Gene, and I didn't want to do Silas Marner or...
The third grade book reviews?
Yeah, third grade. Well, why not, So what book did I pick? They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers. It's the only B-plus I ever got in any written, a review at the time. A little did I know, of course, that I would become friends with Gray years later and that he would publish my first three books. I have a lot of these synchronicities. I think synchronicities tie in with this as well. It's another way of showing us whatever these entities or energies are.
Yeah, but I wanted to refocus on this. So, for example, maybe Howard Menger has some kind of unusual encounter.
Well, yes, he did. Okay, so I had gotten this call one day from a gentleman who had heard Howard several times on the Long John Nebel show. So he didn't know Howard, and he didn't particularly want to meet Howard, but he decided one night he was going to drive out to this farm in Highbridge, New Jersey. So he drove out as he listened to Long John on the car radio. He got there, parked his car in the field behind Howard's house, which was quite expansive. It's now an apartment building, I understand. The fellow who had it, Weird New Jersey, was out there recently. It's all developed, of course. Anyway, this fellow who called me parked in his car back there, and he's listening to Long John on the radio, and he's looking up in wonderment at the night sky with all the stars and so forth. All of a sudden, Long John is saying good night, right? The show is over. Well, he's had, 4 hours or 3.5 or 4 hours of time that he can't account for. But he figures, well, maybe he went to sleep or something like that, just passed out because it was late at night. So he drives back to his home. I think he lived in Edison, or at least that's where he was calling me from. And little by little, his life started to, I would say go downhill. He started to become obsessed with all of this. Well, he ended up splitting from his wife and his family. I guess he lost his job. That's pretty common. Once the UFO bug, infects your body, there's no hope for a lot of people. Remember the fellow, the character played by Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters, where he started making the devil's tower out of the mashed potato heap? That's a very well-known scene in the movie. Well, this guy kind of did the same thing. He was getting messages from whoever was responsible for his 4 hours of missing time, and they were telling him to build or construct something. So he moved into this trailer, and the place, now I never did go to see him, but as he described it to me, the place became a hub of wires and erector sets and all kinds of weirdness going on over there. So this all happened while the guy was in the back of Howard's property behind his house waiting for the aliens to come, and perhaps the aliens might be did come. Okay, so also I was in contact with other people who had had experiences and testified that there seemed to be something strange going on behind Howard's house in the apple orchard there. Now, if you remember, there, in fact, in the article for Open Minds, there's some photographs that Howard took, some of which look suspicious and some of which could be authentic. Again, it's, you know, who knows for...
some look like paintings to me.
Sure.
Honestly, some look like paintings. One looks like a painting of the spaceship in the day the Earth stood still at night.
And then there's some lesser ones where it actually shows a being materializing there, and it's got kind of a weird glow around. It's a shadowy figure with a... Anyway...
I'm trying to focus on this, of course. The key being here, did Manger just make up a lot of stories after having one thing?
No, I think there were some weird experiences going on there because there is a lot of records of people testifying. Dr. Eric Bethel Schwartz, who is now deceased, actually interviewed a lot of the people who had visited Howard's house and seen, and they seemed like reputable people. They didn't seem to be making it up. In fact, some of them were police officers. So I think, yes, Howard enjoyed the limelight. You know, he spoke for at our conventions a couple of times, and this guy could chatter away.
The one thing that really got to be crazy is at the time that I met Menger, we had lunch, Jim Moseley and I, in the 60s at a diner on Fifth Avenue in New York City. Menger was starting to say, you know what, maybe the military created these faux experiences to further their own interest or whatever, that they didn't happen.
Well, I think that may be true, but no, he never really 100% said that his experiences were not real and were not extraterrestrial in nature. In fact, years later, he came out of retirement because for about 10 or 15 years, he never said a word about the subject. And all of a sudden, I called him up one day and I said, Howard, I'm giving a conference. I think it was in San Diego or Phoenix, and I'd like to invite you to come. And he said, sure, just pay for my rental car. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring my X1. Well, he was a tinkerer. Howard had a workshop behind his house. And the story goes that he built the craft one day based on some technology that his buddies from space had given him, and the thing flew off and landed in Pennsylvania. And the FBI even showed up at his door to interview him about this. So anyway, he showed up at my conference a day late, but then he was driving from, I think he was living in Florida by that time.
He came to your conference a day late and a dollar short. I'm joking.
Yeah,
Tim Beckley joins us. You're with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients. Aids in controlling yeast infections. Is never freeze-dried. And uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com. Spelled TERRAGANIX.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro EM1, the raw probiotic.
Has the United States been discovered in the Bible?
Where does Islam fit in Bible prophecy?
Is the new world order world government?
These and other crucial end-time questions are answered in the new DVD package, Understanding the End Time, from End Time Ministries. Jesus Christ said, "I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe." After you watch this 14-lesson DVD series, Understanding the End Time, you'll know more about Bible prophecy than the average seminary graduate. This DVD package normally sells for $280, but now is only $199. Order Understanding the End Time DVD package at endtime.com today for only $199 or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. 1-800-363-8463 or endtime.com.
The world's best solar-powered oven has gotten better. Sun ovens are now available with a brand new Christmas Sun Dehydrating and Preparedness Kit, which includes everything required for cooking, water pasteurization, and dehydrating with the power of the sun. Prepared families are storing food for months and years, but only have enough fuel stored for days or weeks. A sun oven lets you harness the sun's power to bake, boil, or steam food, heat water for purification or personal hygiene, or dehydrate. For the past 25 years, Sun ovens have been proudly made in the U.S., are durable, and have a long life, and come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't be fooled by cheap imitations. For a limited time, preppers can save $65 on the purchase of a Christmas Sun Dehydrating and Preparedness Kit. For a discount coupon, visit sunoven.com/GCN. That's sunoven.com/GCN.
Hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
Tim Beckley telling us about Howard Menger joining you in this UFO convention a day late. Yeah. So was that because he didn't get to speak as a result?
No. You know why? He was because he had rented a little trailer and he had put his homemade flying saucer on it and was traveling across the country with it. So I guess he had to stop a couple of times and retie the thing to the trailer and whatever. And maybe he didn't know how to get to San Diego from Vero Beach. But he showed up and he gave a talk for about 2 hours with a blackboard. And he just went on and on and on about the propulsion system. In fact, here's a little unknown story about Howard. He claims that he actually drove a government-built flying saucer. In his book that he and his wife, Connie, who's still alive and living in Florida, wrote called The High Bridge Incident, he tells about this episode, I believe, in Colorado, where he was taken to a warehouse or a hangar, and through telepathic powers, he was actually able to take this thing out for a midnight crew.
Let's move past Howard Menger, okay? Let's move past him. Maybe not. I kind of just wanted to focus on the possibility that people have experiences that embellish them. A further question from Mr. Polterwurst. He asked us enough questions with enough detail to fill the rest of the show. I just refreshed my memories about your first UFO sighting, where you described something like balls of light under intelligent control, and then he relates this to cases in other parts of the world, and I guess he wanted further comments about what this involved, and whether there's any relationship with that and poltergeists?
Well, I've had three sightings. The first one, which I've described many times, including on this program, I think, was around the age of 10. It was a warm summer night in, like, August. That would have been, like, around 1957 or so. And in those days, we didn't have air conditioning. So So everybody would sit and hunker down on the, you know, on the front porch till it got cool enough to go inside. Now, this 1957, if you remember, was a pretty heavy hitter year for flying saucer sightings. So anyway, someone came running up to the porch where we were seated. I think my mother was there and a couple of people from down the block. Pointed out two objects in the sky. One was hovering over an abandoned factory building directly across the street, and one appeared over the house. Now, I can't tell you that I saw a little green man. Nobody waved to me. There were no landing gear. These were brightly lit lights just over the cloud bank, so you couldn't really see a lot of detail. They kept switching positions in the sky so that the one across the way would come in the house and vice versa, where they just move around. Okay, suddenly the one over the factory building disappeared like somebody had pulled the light switch. The other one played around in the sky for a little while after that. Went inside eventually. Next day or following day, there was an item in the newspaper that other people had witnessed this, and the authorities were saying that it was nothing more unconventional than a weather balloon. Well, Gene and Chris, even at the age of 10, I knew this was not a weather balloon. It was something that seemed to be under intelligent control. It wasn't bobbing and weaving in the air current or anything like that. Now, the only thing over the years that I've sat here and tried to explain this in my own mind, because I do try to find a rational explanation first before I go out on a limb.
But now you're going out on a limb. That's, of course, the precursor to that.
And the only thing that I could think of was, well, they could be searchlight beacons playing around in an overcast sky, except that the flight path of these lights were so tight that this so-called beacon of light or searchlight, well, you would have had to see it hitting the clouds because it was over the house and over the factory building. It wasn't making a wide sweep. So I don't know what this was. It was a UFO, and it remains a UFO in my mind. I had another sighting when I was in Warminster, England. I had published a book by Arthur Shuttlewood, and, of course, Warminster, there was more UFO sightings in Warminster than anywhere else in the in Europe, probably, you know, all over the world. I had been invited by the late Earl of Clancarty, Brinsley Laporte Trench, to speak at this unofficial UFO group that was he had organized for members of the House of Lords. I believe I was maybe one or two Americans that actually was invited to speak there, and I went to Loch Ness on my trip, and I went to Warminster. Anyway, I was in the field near Star Hill where a lot of these sightings had taken place. I was there with Shuttlewood and another fellow by the name of Bob Strong. He was a retired RAF fighter pilot. This guy had two huge scrap albums full of UFO photographs that he and others had taken. Unfortunately, people borrowed them little by little to make copies and never returned them. Some of these things were the weirdest things you ever look at. There was one particular photo, and I think I've published this. It looked like a freight train going across the sky. Another thing that looked like a humongous bat, you know, with the multiple wings and stuff. And just incredible stuff. We're not just talking about, you know, a disc or something like that. We're talking about something really spooky here. So anyway, it's about 11 o'clock at night. We had seen a few meteorites, you know, fly by. And all of a sudden, Arthur points out this fairly bright light high up in the sky. Now, there was no lamppost or outdoor lighting or anything. We're in the middle of the field, pitch dark. All right. So I thought, well, maybe it's the planet Venus and certainly not the moon. And I conveyed that feeling to Shuttlewood and the other people there. And Arthur said, oh, no, that's probably one of them. And I said, well, how can you tell? He said, watch this. So he goes to the back of his car, opens it up, and takes out a large torchlight. I mean, this wasn't like a little, you know, plastic flashlight. This is a big torchlight, you know, powerful batteries and all. And he starts blinking at this object in the sky. That wasn't Morse code or anything, but a blink, 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 blink. Every time he would blink at this object, and I witnessed this myself, this thing would make somersaults. It would move around like the light were on a marionette or, you know, like a puppet string or something. Like, this is way up in the sky. There's no a puppet master there. Well, maybe there is. But we looked at it for about maybe 10 minutes, and every time he flashed, blink, 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 it seemed to maneuver as if acknowledging our presence. Eventually, it went behind the clouds and disappeared, and it started raining, and I went back to the hotel, and that was it. You know, we talked to enough people while I was there for 2 days. So there was something incredible going on there, and most of it was of a paranormal nature. I mean, there were beings that would stand about 7 or 8 feet tall. They would stand up against the fence post. You know, it was a closed gate, and you could see right through them. And they would be heard walking through the bramble and the bushes, but they could not be seen. There were all sorts of lights in the field. Now, one of the most fascinating stories, Gene, do you remember a fellow by the name of Bryce Bond?
Bryce Bond was a talk show host.
Well, no, he started out actually. He was at, I think the station was WTFM, just over the border there in Long Island. He played music like Frank Sinatra songs.
Right. Like originally, he was just a disc jockey.
Disc jockey, that's correct. Okay. Later, he was, again, his life was transformed. He was pulled into this. But he had called me one day. He used to read meeting notices. Whenever Jim or I were having meetings, he would read them on the air as a public notice. They didn't have a particular interest in the subject, or at least we never discussed it. Anyway, one day he calls me up and he tells me he's going to the UK on vacation. Is there anything that he might do to whittle away some of the time or that he might find interesting? Well, I suggested perhaps he get in touch with fellow journalist Arthur Shuttleworth. About a month later, I hear from Bryce, and he's all excited. He's quit his job at the radio station, and he has become a healer. And I said, well, what is that all about, Bryce? Well, it seems that he was at the Star Hill, about the same area where I was. He sees a light off in the distance and decides to climb over the fence. Well, nobody else follows him. He goes out maybe a quarter of a mile, an eighth of a mile by himself. He claims that he becomes one with the object. He's actually teleported or merged with the object. Inside of the craft are human, what they call the Nordics, human-looking aliens. They talk to him for a while, give him a message of peace and enlightenment, tell him to go back and devote his life to, a healing and so forth and so on. And that's exactly what he did. So, I don't know, he put down his Frank Sinatra 45s and took up the UFO fellowship, the movement of the Space Brothers or something. I don't know. I mean, I didn't know Bryce well enough ahead of time to know if that's something that he would do or not, because he didn't seem to be a ufologist or that much into the subject. He was a disc jockey.
And I'll tell you what, some of us are former disc jockeys, and that's another life. Hey,
God,
tell you something here. We have Tim Beckley with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Hey everybody, Alex Jones here.
If you're looking for the perfect Christmas gift, listen up. This will make your holiday shopping very easy. This year, give a seed bank from one of our oldest sponsors, Solutions from Science, to your friends and family. Here's why. The Survival Seed Bank will give any friend or loved one the ability to grow a full acre crisis garden of nutritionally dense, life-sustaining food. And the Survival Seed Bank is not just a box of open-pollinated seeds. It's an indestructible, waterproof seed bank that can even be buried if we face a real meltdown. And here's the best part. All the seeds in the Survival Seed Bank go through strict germination testing, so you can be confident you're not buying old seeds. Give a Survival Seed Bank this Christmas by going to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Or you can call 877-327-0365 to give the gift that produces an ongoing supply of life-sustaining food.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
This is Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear, and I'm here to say a good word or two about the Paracast, which I believe is the gold standard of paranormal radio. Listen to it if you can.
With Gene and Chris, we have the irrepressible Tim Beckley, Mr. UFO, on the Paracast. Chris, you want to follow up with some of these issues in our final segment?
You guys are just fascinating me with these interesting accounts and stories. And, you know, I think it's important that all these types of events and colorful individuals have been documented over the years. And I think it's really important for our listeners, especially the younger listeners, to read these books and do the research and become familiar with the wonderful kaleidoscope of history that these types of phenomenon, you know, have presented us that have been captured in all the books that Tim's written and of course, in the San Luis Valley.
Not only that I've written, but I've begun to bring out a series of what I call flying saucer classics. I've taken a lot of these books that are in public domain or are never copyrighted, or the authors are dead 50 years or something like that, right? And put them together, two classic books into one. Not so much because I believe, you know, people say, oh, you believe in all this, well, I won't say the word that I'm thanking. And no, it doesn't matter what, I always tell people, they ask me, what is my opinion on the subject? And you know what I tell them? It doesn't matter what my opinion is. UFOs act independently, not only of my thinking, but anybody else's, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I believe that this material should be preserved. Most of these publications had a very small circulations. These books had small circulations to begin with, and now they probably have much even smaller circulations because, of course, this is a limited field here as far as the book selling goes. You know, people think, oh, you get rich by publishing UFO books. Well, you know, over 50 years, how many books have actually become bestsellers in the field? You can count them on your Martian hand. You know, I mean, it's like flying. I think the best-selling book on the subject is supposedly A Flying Saucer Series of Business by Frank Edwards. Communion maybe came close, but Hopkins had a book on the bestseller list for a couple of weeks. And John Keel's made it, I think, up to number three or something like that, Mothman Prophecies.
Well, yes, Leslie Kane certainly has with her UFO book. She did very well.
Oh, yes, but that's
Leslie Kane,
celebrity. Yeah, okay. But, there have been, you certainly don't get into the UFO field thinking that you're going to make any real kind of money, you know, and that people will point at the contactees and say, oh, they're just in it for the bucks. No, there's no money to be made. They would go from town to town and they would, you know, like sleep a night in somebody's, you know, apartment or two. Dan Fry, who of course claimed that he was an engineer and worked at White Sands Proving Ground, he took the Greyhound. I remember one time I was on the he took the Greyhound wherever he went. You know, I remember I was on a a program that Professor G.C. Shellhorn put together in Madison, Wisconsin, I think it was. It was on a snowy day. There were more people on stage than in the audience. And Dan showed up through the mini blizzard to give his talk, and he had arrived in town after 3 days on the road on a Trailways bus or something, you know. So the money to be made, maybe enough to put dinner on the table or something, you know. And even George Van Tassel, people say, oh, he collected that money for the Integratron, you know. Well, I don't think he put any of it in his pocket, because I've been out to visit the family. You know, the family doesn't have permission to get into the Integratron, but they live in trailers right behind it, the grandson and all.
Really?
Yeah. And I presented them with an award, you know. I had a big conference one time in Palm Springs at a lovely hotel. The hotel gave me all the facilities for free because it was the middle of August. Well, that might explain why we had less than 100 people there, because it was so hot. But it was a great show. In fact, our keynote speaker was Robert Weiss of the Day the Earth Stood Still. I seated him right next to Kenneth Anger, if you know who he is, who came to the conference by very strange circumstances. And I only knew who he was and recognized him because he had left behind a stack of mail that he had just gotten from the post office at one of the vendors' tables. And I followed him down the hall and I said, Kenneth, are you coming to the show? And he said, I really can't afford to. And I said, well, I want you to be my guest. So I seated Robert Weiss and the Maverick filmmaker, Kenneth Anger, next to each other and introduced them at this conference. But no money to be made in UFOs. Maybe the notoriety. I mean, some people do it because they can get a little bit of attention. But, you know, to me, it's like if you go to a party, right, Gene? And we've all been to parties. And some people will...
Speak for yourself.
Some people will stand around the room with the proverbial lampshade on their head, right? While other people will sulk off into the corner and not talk to anybody and leave early or something. And I think it's the same way with UFOs and UFO contactees. Some people just tend to be more vocal and, you know, outlandish and outstanding. And other people may have had the same or more dramatic experience, and they're not going to talk about it. So that's my take on that. Actual hoaxes, but according to the debunkers, they're all hoaxes. So, you know, it's inconsequential. Hoaxes don't really – the biggest hoax going is that guy in Switzerland.
And don't say that too loud. Michael Horn might hear you.
Well, Michael Horn can take the photos and shred them. Because they are being in the movies and having taken photos for years, that's the biggest load of UFO nonsense.
Bilge material?
Yes. Ridiculous.
Right.
And again, a fellow who insisted he's the only one that has contact. Why would they contact him in the middle of nowhere? He's got a cult going. He wants to come people help him harvest his little garden back there.
I think we might have the makings, Gene, of a good debate here. We could do a debate with Tim and Michael Horn. That would be
Why waste 2 hours of my precious time?
I'll tell you what, we did have a debate with Michael Horn and the former co-host on the PowerCast. This goes back to something like 2006. And we got loads of emails because all the supporters of the M person, all the supporters of He Who Shall Not Be Named,
yes,
which is what we referred them to, came aboard and they just posted message after message. And finally it got to be so crazy we just put a stop to it. Because it was a matter of filibustering. Uh-huh. You know, this was the filibuster method of debate where you'd ask a person a question and they would spend about 3 weeks answering it, so you could never figure out what they were talking about. At that point, you lost them a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, UFO just clutters the mill, you know. I mean, it's just is not even worth paying attention to it. And I'm sure I will get lots of emails now to cease and exist. But actually, a good friend of mine is Wendell Stevens' daughter. Now, Wendell, of course, wrote the first book on that infamous contactee there. And Wendell had some great stories, and I knew Wendell fairly well. And his daughter, Cece, is taking over publishing some of his books. And just like us, we're trying little by little to put them all up on Kindle and so forth. And that saved the day. If it wasn't for, you know, Kindle, we wouldn't be selling half as many books as we used to. But we're still in there. And anybody who wants that free newsletter and a free DVD, just send me an email or go to the website, conspiracyjournal.com. Yeah.
So, Tim Beckley, since you raised the issue, and we're happy to give you the chance, how can our listeners reach you by email?
Oh, well, my email address is MrUFO8. That's MRUFO and the number 8 at hotmail.com. And send me an email. You either like what I have to say or you don't. I'll still put you on our mailing list. We put out the Conspiracy Journal and got loads of books. I think we got 229 books. If you go to Amazon.com and type in my name, I put myself down as editor of the books, even if I haven't written them. So almost everything, that's my trick for almost everything that's showing up.
And, I know, I want to ask you something, though, here.
Yes.
Mr. UFO 8, does that mean there's a Mr. UFO 7, a 6, a 5,
yeah,
et cetera?
Yeah, well, yes, there's certainly a Mr. UFO 1 and 2, and I don't know who they are. But, yeah, originally I did try to get that as the email address, and it was taken already.
Okay, and well, Mr. UFO without the numbers you couldn't get.
Well, you know, we had a UFO store around the corner. It was like a furniture outlet, something furniture outlet, and the guy had a big flying saucer, on it. Yeah.
There you go.
So there you go. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tim Beckley, we really appreciate your presence because you always have lots of fun stories.
Yes.
Chris O'Brien.
Happy holiday to everybody. This is around
yeah,
the
you too, and to our listeners.
Yes.
Okay, Chris, where do we find more of your stuff?
Well, I am a moderator at forum.theparacast.com, and I have a website that's, getting ready to, at some month, get converted over to a WordPress version, and that's ourstrangeplanet.com.
The person who's doing it has been involved in starting a new business, so it will happen, Chris, it will happen. From Gene and Chris to Tim Beckley, thank you for joining us this week on the Paracast.
Yeah, anytime. Up and away.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNlive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNlive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right. Every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNlive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.